You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
For a minute. For the love of God, stay away from the deep dots.
Move to the music, play. Music, move it to the music. Yeah. Acknowledge me.
Welcome back to the DWI podcast. My name is PC Tunney, and I am the artist formerly known as Pizza Funny. I am joined today by the trivia trickster himself. He's funky, phenomenally fresh in oh so many ways. It's AJ Velaz.
What's a crappin' in, bud?
Ah, good to see you, my friend. DP out on assignment. Dave come at me in another group chat, was like, something about Tunney hasn't invited me on the show this week or something. I didn't even acknowledge it. Like, him and DJ, like, all you gotta do is be like, hey, I'm coming on the show, and I'm like, I'll put you in the chat. Like, you know.
I mean, that's basically how it works.
Right.
Like, we're not gonna, like, sugarcoat it. That's usually how our bullshit works, where it's just like, and you wanna come on? Yeah, I'll come on, sure, fuck it.
But, yeah, off the heels of a great WrestleMania weekend, I heard that between SmackDown, NXT Saturday morning, both nights of WrestleMania, and Monday Night Raw, they sold over 200,000 tickets in Philadelphia. That's pretty fucking crazy.
That's pretty damn good. I mean, when it's the 10th WrestleMania, usually you're going to get some good shit going on, so I don't blame them for having that many tickets sold, but just having that alone with all four, the SmackDown, NXT, Stand and Deliver, and then the two nights, that's damn good.
Yeah, I mean, people travel to go to these WrestleManias, you know, and it's just as easy to get to Philadelphia as it is New York. I mean, unless you're, you know, if you're traveling from abroad, maybe it's one little extra hop, skip, and a jump flight from New York to Philly, or taking a, you know, a bus or a train down or something like that. But what did you think of the Hall of Fame ceremony Friday after SmackDown?
I mean, I absolutely loved it. I mean, it gave more light to people that you don't know, like Thunderbolt, and maybe even some of the newer people with Bull Nakano, like not knowing who she was. But But we all know what we were there for, what we really wanted to listen to. We wanted to get that Paul Heyman 2005 one night stand ECW type stuff going out there. And especially with some of the ECW guys there, he had the trench coat, he had the ball cap or the trucker cap, the phone. No matter what anyone says about Paul Heyman, especially being like the wise man, the advocate for the beast, whatever, dude was on top of the world, like trying to get into the wrestling industry, no matter hook or by crook. 16 years old, pretending he was like a professional photographer and interviewer and everything else. To
yeah, he might even have been younger than that when he was back in the Madison Square Garden days working for Vince's dad. But yeah, he had a great speech. I thought it was really nice. A lot of the other people had good speeches as well. I just wonder if it's going to continue to be after SmackDown on Friday night. I wonder if they don't move it like a week ahead of time, on a Saturday or Sunday, or if they move it to like Thursday, or I don't know. It just seems odd to have it that late. I know I heard some other people talk about it like that. Personally, I don't really care. I just got up and watched the ones I wanted to watch Saturday morning.
Fair.
Because they're on the cock anyway. But something to look for moving forward and see if they keep the same thing going with that. I do like how they do it out in the ring, though. It's pretty nice, and they get all the superstars around and out there and dressed up and everything else like they used to. So I do like the old way better, but I think they're doing okay with the way they're doing it now.
I think it's mainly because if they're doing the two-night WrestleManias and everything else, that doing it right after SmackDown and just putting like a black canvas on top of the ring and everything else, Hall of Fame ribbons and whatnot. Yeah, that
I guess it
gets, that works. You already got it.
Like, yeah, you get everybody the same weekend too. So, all right, what we're going to do here is we're going to take a quick commercial break for the cause, a pause for the cause, if you will. And when we come back, AJ and I are going to review WrestleMania 40, give you our thoughts on all of the matches from night one and night two. Right now you're listening to DWI podcast number 425 right here on Chairshot Radio Network, a part of the chairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head and head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick yourself up a Chairshot t-shirt and get one for a friend as well. It makes a great gift. That's prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. We'll be right back.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back. DWI 425. DPP out on assignment. AJ Belaz and PC Tunney here with you. We're reviewing WrestleMania. That's what we're doing here today. We're going to kick it off in order. We're going to start with night one here. AJ, I was home. I stayed home for both nights, actually. I didn't end up going and hanging out with Dan on night two. I just relaxed and had some libations and had some snacks on hand, and I was ready to go. I did not turn on Peacock until about 10 to 7 Eastern on both nights. So I did not watch the pre-show. I'm like, I'm not putting myself through that. I did some other stuff and tried to stay busy. But how was your ramp up to the show?
Ordered some food, got some Buffalo Wild Wings, and I completely forgot when it started because we had other... me and the missus had other things that we were going to do with like a game that we planned with other people, and I'm like, ah, crap, I forgot all about this. Main monitor, as you see me looking at right now, Tunny, was the game that we were playing. Other monitor was
WrestleMania.
Was WrestleMania.
There you go.
And I'm just going to preface this by saying she specifically said, oh, God, you better not get me back into this crap. Meanwhile, anytime that we had downtime, she was looking directly at my screen, watching the matches and being like, oh, this person's good. Oh, I like this person a lot. As she's giving me the dirtiest stare from across the room right now.
Well, it's a good time to get people back into it or back on it or onto it heavier than they were, because everything's really kicking on all gears as far as the roster and everything else. But honestly, the funniest thing was is that the match order was actually leaked. So when we previewed it last week, the two of us, DP and Dave, We actually went through it in order. So you ready to do it again? Here we go. Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch. And I said that last week. I go, Becky really wants to lead it off in a, you know, veteran move there. But they do indeed lead it off. They had a 17-plus minute match. I thought it was very solid. It was a very solid B-plus match. I don't know what was up with the crazy mascara, but it was okay. I enjoyed the match.
It definitely took away from it.
Yeah, I really liked the fact that Rhea retained, one of only two champions to retain. Right, yeah. So, thought that was fun. Thought that was a really good, fun match. What's next for Rhea Ripley? That's should be interesting.
I mean, I thought the same thing. Like you just alluded to, the whole, like, super mascara. For Rhea, sure, that made sense, since she had Motionless and White playing her out.
Which was awesome, so she, by the way. How much did you love that? That was, like, a fucking
that was good.
Plus. That entrance was
that
awesome.
That was really good.
Really good.
I'm not going to deny. I love the little meme that I think I saw someone put down where the lead singer is Rhea Ripley last year, and now we got current Rhea Ripley. But, I mean, they did a damn good job opening the match, especially if you looked at the dirtiest of sheets on Twix. Rhea had a panic attack before the match, and Becky apparently had strep throat.
They pulled it off. Let's just say that
they pulled it off, and that's all that mattered. Then, like you said, one of two people to retain their championship. I'm not going to spoil anything, but Rhea having the impressive run that she's still going on and rekindling her feud with Liv Morgan for some reason. I'm not angry about that. I'm just a little confused. See where that goes. But apparently Liv hasn't forgotten the fact that Rhea kind of betrayed her with those women tag titles.
Well, I mean, it's a good someone to feud with for now. It's really going to be interesting who she's going to have at SummerSlam, because I'd imagine she's going to go through two or three before then. But yeah, I don't see her. She's going to have the belt till there. I don't think we're really going to question her losing that belt again till next WrestleMania.
Maybe. And I know we were kind of talking about long title reigns after this Mania, and she's got a year plus, so.
Yeah.
Who knows?
All right. One of the more funner things. Nothing but correct.
That's English.
Welcome to Grammar WI. Only I'm not WI this week. So anyway, I really enjoyed this. I thought it was great that they split the tag titles this way. I thought that was really clever. And it was cool. Exactly what we came down to and figured out happened, right? We were like, okay, they're going to split them. Well, who's going to be the SmackDown? I'm like, A-Town Down Under. Everybody, you guys are like, yep, you know. And then we were all on the Awesome Truth as it was. So how did you enjoy that match, though? I thought it was a pretty well-produced match. There were some really nice spots.
Yeah, it was a damn good produced match. We had a, you know, since we're in the heart of ECW, we needed a little Funkster going on there with the tornado with the ladder and everything else spinning that around. I believe, who was that? That was Tyler Bate that did that with someone on top of the ladder. But it was a damn good produced match. And I mean, like you said, it's a great way of splitting up the titles. We finally have two tag titles again. Best way to do it. I didn't see that they were doing that at first, but when I was watching the match, and it's just like, oh, there's two of them. Thank God.
I would really love for them to build up these tag divisions now on each show.
Same.
Let's dedicate a good third of the show to the tag division, right? And you can even include that into whatever you're doing with the women, right? Which clearly right now seems like it should be a Raw thing with Jade and – or no, Jade – Jade's on SmackDown, isn't she?
I think she's on SmackDown, but I think they're also... But she's playing the free agent role. Yeah.
She's officially on SmackDown, I thought. But Bianca is on Raw, and so is Naomi, right?
Naomi, I think, is on SmackDown. Okay. I don't remember if Bianca's on Raw or SmackDown. It's a whole kerfuffle. Yeah.
Well, I'm wondering if what combination of them we're going to get going for those women's tag titles that weren't defended.
I'm not 100% sure on that. I mean, We'll get to that match later because the tag team champions for the women were in a match, but that's later on.
That's a true story. That's a very true story. I was really happy for Truth. I thought it was a fun moment on Raw when Rhea and Priest held their titles up and Truth came in behind them.
Oh, I thought we were over this by now.
Yeah, right.
You're not in the Judgment Day.
Hilarious. But good on them. And like we both agree, let's get some more consistency and more week by week storytelling in these tag team divisions, because I think there are guys out there that can, you know, I think the New Catch Republic is solid. You know, you got Yes Boys. Why can't I remember their fucking name?
Pretty Deadly.
Pretty Deadly is another good tag team. A lot of good young tag teams.
I'm
out
like,
there.
Yes Boys? What the fuck?
Yes Boy. They say that, don't they?
I've seen them in NXT. I don't remember their catchphrase because the one got hurt for so long.
Yeah, that's true. It didn't help. When they came up, it was big, and then they just haven't done much since it came back. But yeah. Let's just get more of these young tag teams going. You know, that's the way we found a lot of big stars in the past is starting.
That is true, especially the next match that happened. You got a faction on SmackDown. You got two factions on SmackDown that competed.
Rey Mysterio and Andrade defeated Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio with the help of a couple of Philadelphia Flying Eagles, Lane Johnson and Jason Kelsey.
Yep. I mean,
that was pretty cool. I popped pretty good for that.
It was cool. I mean, I knew who, I knew right away that Kelsey was there just because of the giant fucking beard. And then I'm just staring and I'm like, is that either has to be Lane Johnson or someone else that I can't think of that's on that Eagles offensive line. It wasn't going to be the former rugby player, but that was a good match. It was a fun match. Yeah. Had a lot of shenanigans amongst the factions and, you know, Dirty Dom, once again, not getting a win. Rey Mysterio, now even at WrestleMania.
Oh, there you go.
Trivia from last week, if you haven't listened to it. Now he's even at Mania, 4-4.
There we go. Nothing like a good old winning streak at WrestleMania for Rey Mysterio. But yeah, they're really building up a good storyline between Legado del Fantasma and LWO. You know, I love the fact that Andrade is back. He looks really good. I really enjoyed watching him work so far. But, yeah, just a fun match and a great way to get the crowd on night one with bringing in those two Philadelphia Eagles. So that was pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I ended up liking – I wasn't looking forward to that match, and I ended up liking it a lot more than I thought I would.
I think there's another quote-unquote clusterfuck match for the next night where I was thinking I'm not going to enjoy it. But I did anyways because of the shenanigans that happened. Again, we'll get to that later. But
so next match,
great match. Yeah.
Speaking of like not enjoying things the way you thought you would, more or less, like 11 minutes for the Uso match, and it was like a super kickoff. I mean, I gave it like a B maybe. It was not a great match in my opinion.
Yeah, that was kind of the blunder because I was expecting some shenanigans where it's like just beat down the entire way, then
I mean,
get to the super kick. Like,
it wasn't bad, but it was barely good.
It was, you got the hype from the Mysterio match and then everyone's like anticipating this. I think it was because everyone had a high bar for this match where it's like, they're going to beat the absolute shit out of each other. It's brother versus brother. The third time that this has ever happened. And then it's just super kicks, doing some high-flying stuff, yeet, no yeet, and then super kick, spear, freaking frog splash, pin. Okay, that's not what we were expecting. We were expecting a little more heat here. We were expecting a little more, maybe even accidental blood or something dripping or something. Who knows?
Yeah,
but it was
look
just...
This match got a 2.89 on cagematch.net. Like, and I'm not saying like their ratings are you should live or die by them. You should never let somebody else tell you how you feel about wrestling, right? You can be informed on something you're misinformed on, but if you like or don't like somebody, that's up to you, because that's what it's all about. It's liking or not liking somebody and being a fan. but it's a good, it's a better reference than other star systems that different people have, a number of different people have. So basically, if you're a user of cagematch.net, you can go in and vote, and it tells you how many people have voted and what the rating is. So Rhea and Becky got a 7.39. The ladder match, tag match, got a 7.52. 5.61 for the Andrade Rey Mysterio victory, and 2.89 for Jimmy and Jay. Over 700 votes, by the way. This isn't just like,
yeah,
this isn't just like 8 or 9 people that voted and were like, didn't like it. This is over 700 votes on that match. So yeah, I guess we're not in the minority there. But
yeah,
we keep it moving. We were talking about this before Bianca, Jade, and Naomi get over on Damage Control. Dakota Kai, Kairi Sane, and Asuka. This match was rated a 5.39, which is probably right about where it needed to be. I thought Jade looked good, and that was the main...
That was the whole point.
Right.
Just let's showcase Jade and make her look like a superhero.
I saw
and then that's what happened on SmackDown.
I saw somebody arguing with somebody on X, go figure. And
Shocker.
Somebody was saying about how, you know, they were so slow to use Jade and they still didn't get it going and everything, which is so stupid because they're doing it perfect. But the response to this person from the other person was, if she was in AEW, she wouldn't be doing a damn thing anyway. You know, shut your mouth. You know, like, it's just ridiculous the way these people think, you know. Right, we'll move on. I shouldn't even have brought up AEW stuff.
Yeah,
but
I know. Just as soon as I heard that, I'm like, right, oh god, this is gonna be a thing because I'm just gonna ignore it.
What do you see moving forward for Damage Control now? Io's lost the title, which we're gonna get to that as well. I'm jumping the gun, mm-hmm, but you already watched. It's, you know, we're days past WrestleMania, so, and it looks like at some point Asuka and Kairi could be dropping these tag belts to any combination of Jade and another tag partner. So, I mean, is damage control nearing the end? Is it going to be a slow patch for them? You think they stay together? What do you think?
I think they stay together for a little bit up until maybe SummerSlam, where then out of nowhere, just like things start crumbling and it's just like, you can't get it done. No, well, you have been the detriment because we saw Asuka spray the mist and she, all pun intended, missed. Hit Kairi.
Missed the mist.
Well,
we do have the draft coming up at the end of the month as well. So, Friday, April 26th, SmackDown, and Monday, April 29th, Raw will be the draft.
Okay.
So, I guess, really, you got this month now of leeway where they're going to build storylines for a pay-per-view that's going to have a draft a week or so beforehand, and then after that, everything's going to flip-flop, but that's okay. I think that's what happened last
year,
too, wasn't it? Something like that, but...
Something to that effect, but I'm just hoping for this draft where they actually have Aldis and Pierce, like, going back and forth, like the early 2000s drafts where it's just, like, shit-talking each other. I'm not going to lie, I would love and enjoy that wholeheartedly.
At least this year, there's a fucking person representing each brand. I mean, last year, we talked about how, like, you're drafting against yourself. Like, you know, it was just Shawn Michaels who came out and got the pop last year when they took all his NXT people, which they should keep doing that. It won't get old.
No, I mean, they also had Ilya, since he had his match on Raw. He's eligible for the draft now, so I'm assuming since he declared. He's probably going to be on Raw, most likely, but hey, anything can happen in the draft.
Right.
I mean, we've seen it, and if Adam Pearce and Aldis just have like a little altercation, like Triple H has to get involved, or maybe even Ava comes in and is just like, well, NXT, you know, we're trying to do the future here. You guys are just like doing stuff, but
we'll see.
It would be nice to see some...
Definitely a different dynamic.
Some banter.
For the positive. Yeah. Let's get back to the card. Sami Zayn, in an absolute banger, defeats Gunther. I know we all talked about how we wanted somebody that was a little... could use a little bit more rub than a Sami Zayn, but at the end, you put on an excellent match and you lose the title that way. Gunther's got to be headed to the world title picture, whatever brand it is.
I'm not disagreeing. Obviously, I'm upset because how many times have we had the same? He is the underdog. Oh my, OMG, he wins. Ah. It's just kind of dull to me. So I didn't really enjoy the match. But going forward, I do enjoy the fact that Sammy's going to, he gave Gable a title opportunity for this week, or not this week, next week's Raw.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to see Gable kind of turn on him and get the win that way, where Sammy is a quote-unquote transitional champion. Then Gunther, somewhere down the line, is going to get a rematch or something like that. And Gable now has this edge to him and whatnot.
I don't think Gunther ever fights for the IC title ever again.
That might happen too. I'm throwing a rant.
I think,
you know, booking by AJ.
Hey, that's my bit. Copyright.
But that's my thing. Where Sami Zayn, yeah, he won. I kind of went, meh, I don't want to see that. But I want to see what Gable's going to do to win this championship, because I think Gable's going to win this championship.
Yeah, that should be the direction they go in, with at least a feud there between them. Gunther, though, I feel like him and Cody at SummerSlam would be a really fucking fun match. But I don't know. That's just throwing stuff out there. The main event, night one, the Bloodline, Roman Reigns and The Rock, taking on Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. This match went 44 and a half minutes. This was a long fucking match. I thought this was too long.
I did too, I'm not going to lie. Where I'm just like, and we get the pin, and we get the pin. I was also drinking at the time, like, heavily. So I'm just like, fucking get the pin already. Because, yeah, it's the second longest WrestleMania match behind Shawn versus Bret at 12.
Yeah. Yeah. I enjoyed what they did with it. I thought there was some real fun parts, and Rock wrestled a lot better than I thought he would. I'd love to see him back and face Cody for the title at some big show down the road. Maybe that's SummerSlam, maybe that's Survivor Series. I don't know, Royal Rumble next year, but
I was about to say, a lot of people on the dirtiest of sheets have been saying they're setting up Mania 41 because of all of that. So,
oh, Rock versus Cody.
Rock versus Cody. Because remember, Cody did say,
anytime,
not
anywhere.
Cody, sorry. The Rock said,
well, Cody
that
said he wanted
will
to
face him.
Yeah. Well, then he wanted to hold
the title or not.
He wanted to hold his belt on Raw, which was kind of weird.
Yeah, that was. The crowd was right. This is awkward for that entire moment.
Yeah, the Rock wants to hold your belt.
The Rock wants to hold your
even
belt.
Even Cody,
can I hold
your belt? that wasn't planned. Cody just like, okay. Do you want to smell it too?
you want to what it's cooking?
Yeah, what are we doing here?
Fuck the walk.
Anyway,
and then
yeah.
It turned into you hold mine, I hold yours. And
yeah,
was weird, but
it was
match wise.
I hate when our shorts get tangled.
Shrinkage! It was in the pool. It was cold.
Tell her, Jerry. Tell her.
But match-wise, I do absolutely love the fact that Rock pulled the bullshit of being on the board of directors and.
Oh yeah, you count
the
you're
referee
fired.
Count one, two. Don't you count the Rock? I'll fucking fire you if you count the Rock.
You count, you're fired.
Yeah, you fucking count me, you're fired. And I'm just like, oh, this is a fun little like thing for The Rock going forward. I enjoyed it. But yeah, it ended with the spear into a good old Rock Bottom, having Cody sit in the middle of the ring like he was a year ago at 39. Bloodline rules for Sunday. And anything goes for Bloodline rules.
And we all figured that's what that was going to be, because why wouldn't you? You can do so much more on night two. So night one was really good. I enjoyed it a lot. I think the only thing that was subpar compared to expectations was the Usos match, unfortunately. That's forever going to live as the third best brother versus brother match at WrestleMania, in my opinion.
Yep. I think it, the main reason I think is because we were expecting more.
Yeah, we were more than 11 minutes.
Like the bar was like at about an 8, and we got like a 5.
Yeah.
And everyone's just like, this was a dog shit match. It was a good match for what it's worth, but I think it was because everyone was expecting more. Because I agree with you, that to me was the low point of the night.
All right, when we come back, right here on DWI 425, AJ Blaz, PC Tunney, we're going to get into night 2 of WrestleMania right here. DWI 425, Chairshot Radio Network, Chairshot.com, TheChairShot.com, and ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out TheChairShot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
All right, welcome back, DWI 425. We are reviewing WrestleMania, and we are at night 2, folks. Night 2 was really good. I think it was better than night 1. What do you think?
I absolutely agree. This is the main point of, God, I don't want to get back into wrestling. I don't want to get back into wrestling, and proceeded to not only switch it over to having it on the big TV in the bedroom, but it was just like, come on, we gotta watch it. We gotta watch if Cody finishes the story.
So we start off with Rollins and McIntyre, and Drew McIntyre gets this win in just over 10 minutes. I thought it was a solid match. I liked the fact of the length of the match, considering Rollins was in a freaking 45-minute match the night before, right? It was awesome to see Drew get it, but then Drew goes right away and starts taunting Punk, and you could say that a combination of Drew McIntyre himself and CM Punk cost him that title, but as AJ called it, your new World Heavyweight Champion, when it was all said and done, Damian Priest successfully cashes in on Drew McIntyre. AJ, I just gave you your flowers. Go ahead. Take your victory lap.
I'm definitely going to take my victory lap, especially since it's live and recorded. I'm kidding. For what it's worth, I like the match. My main problem that I have, and I've noticed it for a lot of Rollins, like the premier Seth Rollins WrestleMania matches, is it's a 2K match where you put everyone has finishers right away, and it kind of sours it for me, where it's, all right, we're going to do 3 claymores, all right, now we're going to do a pedigree into a stomp, and then try to go for the stomp again even though my knee's messed up. Like, it was a good match. I'm not denying the fact that it wasn't a good match, because it was. It's just, it leads me to be like, you're just saturating a finisher, in my opinion, for this.
Well, but they were doing it in limited time. You know, it's not like they were planning out a 20, 25 minute match for the title here. You know what I'm saying?
True.
So why not get it going right away? Plus, you guys are starting the night off. You got to get moving. You got to get them running and rolling. You know, like Rhea's entrance really did that for me. And Becky and Rhea came out and they were going. Yeah. But I enjoyed the match, and then the cash-in was even better with the interaction with CM Punk. I mean, it was just perfect. It was just setting everything up as we move down the road here this summer. Drew McIntyre apparently doesn't have a deal yet, but that's not big news to anybody backstage. They're apparently still working on stuff, and WWE said, we're going to sign him. It's just a matter of when, not if. So I believe that.
And I was, I mean, you were talking about, you know, the entrance for Rhea and Becky hyping you up. I mean, I have a little bit of bias to one of the entrances more than the other one, as I said in the group chat, where it's
Drew's entrance.
Step family, my stepbrother's pipe band was the one that actually played out Drew McIntyre. Like, I was told Thursday or Friday after DWI, and my mom just goes, hey, they're going to be playing at WrestleMania, and they're rehearsing. They had to get there at like 11 a.m. Eastern to rehearse and get everything situated. So I'm like, well, now I got to fucking watch it attentively here. So that was definitely awesome. Obviously, one of my main gripes is how come the pipe band couldn't march out Drew, but the fucking mummers can go around the entire ring for Seth Rollins.
Well, that was crazy. That was crazy. I thought that was pretty cool.
It was cool. That's why I'm like, fucking mummers can do it, but not the pipe band? Like, well, marching out the psychopath? That is what it is. But
they got their time.
Yeah. But Damian cashing in, Dirty as the Sheets says that it was planned since, like, November. Other Dirty Sheets are saying it was like minutes ahead of time.
The trickster
was the one that told you that was going to happen the entire time.
So here's the thing. We talked about that in the Chairshot Radio thread about like when it was planned or not, if it was planned or not. And like my final thing that I said, and the only thing that I said was I really wouldn't put a lot of stock into any of those things because it doesn't matter who says what when until Triple H says go out there now, cash in and win. Like Triple H's mind can change. It doesn't just because he says, yeah, we're planning it that way. That's just what they're working towards. It doesn't mean at any time during the time in between, he couldn't have went, no, this is it. Right. You know, I just think that's a very fluid thing, even more so than people think, even more so than it would be perceived in backstage in the closest of circles. It's just imagine that Hunter could never disregard a time. Like, you couldn't just be like, oh, I'm set for this, because if something else could make it better, you know, the things, way different things happen. So I'm glad what they did. I liked what they did. It was fun to open WrestleMania that way. So,
oh, without a doubt, you got another WrestleMania cash in. You got CM Punk just dismantling all of Drew's dreams just in a matter of seconds. Yeah, I know everyone wanted broken dreams. You got broken dreams, all right. Good old lifting the title into his face, saying, come get a shot. I want this hanging on my wall. Doing the suck it right in front of him, and his hubris was his downfall, and that's all that mattered.
It should be interesting to see what happens here. I would imagine we're going to get Damian and Drew in a rematch. But yeah, I think Damian's going to be a good world champion. It'll be interesting to see how long they keep the belt on him. But yeah, something new to look at. Another title change. Another major, major title change. How about the six-man tag team match, the Philadelphia Street Fight between the group of Angelo Dawkins, Montez Ford, and Bobby Lashley, known as the Pride, with B-Fab, taking on the Final Testament, Occam, Razor, with Scarlett, and of course Karrion Kross. I did not even watch this match, let me tell you. I got up and made some food and I took a piss, and that was about it.
Yeah, this was kind of the piss break match, which I did actually watch it. I enjoyed the fact that Scarlett and B-Fab did some bumps where they were beating each other with kendo sticks. They went through a table on the outside. Like, Scarlett played dead after that table spot for the rest of the match. Like, she looked like she was literally knocked out and asleep on that table. As for the match, it was a street fight match. It was everything that you needed. Bad blood going and boiling to the point where it's just beat the shit out of each other with kendo sticks, chairs, doing the Authors of Pain doing super colliders and whatnot.
The one cool thing though was Bubba Ray was out there as special guest referee.
I know for a fact that DJ loved what I said in the group chat, and I'm gonna say it right now. Bubba Ray doing his best Tim White impression on the referee side. He has the haircut. He looked like Tim White to me. I'm not gonna lie, but there was a bit of a shoving match between Cross and Bubba, and Bubba just puts on the Dudley sunglasses. He puts on the Dudley glasses. And then Bubba instructing the Street Profits how to do the wise up. Like, no, you got to spread the legs a little wider for the wise up. So it was mainly there for the ECW fun. But it was something to get the crowd enjoying this match. Because I'm pretty sure if the Uso blood feud was the high bar, this was the low bar. And this was like at like a 2. It was fun. It was what you expect in a street fight. Bubba got involved, and it was like a 4. Still higher than what
five and
a
half. 5.5 rating on Cage Match. I do remember the end now. The end was kind of fun because I remember Bubba getting involved and everything. But all right, how did you like LA Knight versus AJ Styles? These are your two guys.
Well, first off, I don't know how I feel about AJ Styles' new theme yet. It sounded cool. It got a little cut off because he just ran down into the ring and everything. But for what it's worth, it was a good match. That's not me being biased. You know, you got the highlights of LA Knight. You got the highlights of AJ Styles, whether it was doing the springboard 450, doing the box jump superplex that LA Knight likes to do often. If you have not seen these guys wrestle, this WrestleMania match will showcase what they can do and if you want to be a fan or not of them, because it was a damn good match to me. That might be biased, but it showed what they can do, ending it with a BFT. Yeah.
I think LA Knight goes to Raw in the draft. And I think AJ Styles stays on SmackDown because I think Cody Rhodes is going to SmackDown. And AJ Styles is a heel. That's why he's got the different music. And that's a perfect guy for Cody to work with. None of that could happen, obviously. But
none of that could happen. It's going to be still get the...
Right. There's going to be a lot of loose speculation for the next 3 weeks until we get past the draft. And no, until that first DWI episode on May 3rd. We won't know these new rosters and kind of know exactly where we're going to be going with these storylines. And I guess that's the one cool thing I really think about having this draft now is you do have some real leeway booking as far as you can see if you like something or not. And if they don't, you don't go that, you know what I mean? There's a lot of angles you can take here.
I was about to say the DWI before. Are we gonna be goofy and try to do some mock drafting? What we want to see and whatnot.
Oh God, that's so difficult. Considering like people can or cannot get drafted. Like people may or may not get drafted, or is it gonna be a whole roster thing? Like we gotta figure out what's the specifics of it. It's gonna be so far.
I don't know. I was just thinking of something fun that we can. Pump out like a 2-hour episode
no,
and just have fun
I'm
with
not,
the draft.
Not interested. We can have some predictions at last call. How's that?
Okay.
I have to do 2 hours every Sunday on Bandwagon Nerds.
I'm trying to throw
nerds.
Content.
Why don't you do your own special with your brother?
Maybe I could throw it out there if he's interested.
He
but
won't
knowing
be.
How it's WWE,
WWE,
he's not interested.
Get out of town. Where's the buzzer?
I think he'd rather butt chug blue cheese.
Yeah, probably. You got anything else on LA Knight and AJ Styles? I thought the match was okay.
It was there. It showed what they can do. That's basically what that match was there for.
I thought it was funny that, well, it wasn't funny, but it turned out to be funny. That LA Knight, not even his gum could stop him on Friday Night SmackDown.
Oh, where he choked on the gum.
Yeah, he's like,
wait, everyone will not.
But he caught it. He saved himself from choking, and then, like a pro, carried on and saved it. So it was kudos to him. Kudos to him. This next match was one of my favorite matches of the weekend. Logan Paul defending the United States title against Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. Logan's out there with the blue prime bottle guy, which turned out to be some interesting shenanigans on the outside. I wonder how he felt taking that RKO and the table not breaking.
I have no idea. Like, we always hear that the table breaking, or just the table in general, is a nice little cushion. So when it doesn't break, I don't know how that feels.
Yeah, I heard it's a lot worse when it doesn't break. But I really enjoyed this match. Interesting, Logan Paul retaining. I mean, not surprising though, because of all the attention he brings. So why not have him carry a title? I think he's on TV enough that he can have this title.
Yeah, he's definitely shown, like, I mean, we've already known, it's like, he's shown that he can go in the ring, he can wrestle in the ring and everything else. It's just, he's the heel where some people disassociate, like, they can't disassociate him and the old YouTube shit.
Sure.
Where it's just like, oh my god, this guy is on my screen, why is he a champion, he's scum of the earth. That's the point. That is what they're hammering in.
That's the preconceived, like, villain thing. But, like, you watch, like, the thing from WrestleMania when he watched the end of Mania with his friends in the suite, and, like, him being emotional over it. And, like,
he enjoys
saying, oh, like,
this
he's,
shit.
Like,
he
he's,
loves
like,
this
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, definitely. He has a respect for it, and he does it the right way. And he's one of the best in the world at it, I'll be honest with you, already.
Yeah. Yeah, he's damn good at what he's doing. And, you know, I'm one of the Logan Paul naysayers because I believe, like, he is that good of a heel. You're supposed to boo a good heel. Yeah.
Interesting.
And he is that good heel.
Interesting to see how he ends up losing this belt down the line, and if he gets back into the, you know, the world title or you know, WWE title picture. But definitely, I would say down the road, that's in his future. What do you think is going to happen now? You think Kevin Owens or Randy Orton ever win a world title again?
Kevin Owens might win another world title, but as much as I want to see Randy get to 16 and face John Cena for their last run for a championship or something, I don't think Randy's getting another championship here. It would be nice to see a heel Orton versus a Cody Rhodes, who's, you know, Superman at this point, but will he get it? I highly doubt it.
Okay. So we're in agreement that it's more likely Logan Paul wins a world title before either of those two guys.
Yeah, which seems a little dirty to say, but yeah. Logan Paul is definitely more the championship face material than Owens and Orton. And it's not knocking them. It's just Orton's got the miles and Owens, they seem to have him as like the gatekeeper, the upper mid card, where if you can beat him, you can go higher.
Always entertaining, though. I mean, the guy, very versatile, and we could switch him over to heel at any time.
Oh, yeah.
Bayley and Io. I thought this was a really good fucking match. I thought this match is getting the least amount of talk for how good it was. It was one of the top four matches, I thought, of the entire weekend, nights one and two of WrestleMania. Bayley back on top with the title, taking care of Io Sky. They gave this match time. The girls told a great story that they executed excellently. I'm so happy for Bayley. What do you think?
I mean, everything you said and more. Like, it was a 14-minute match. They gave them enough time to settle kind of a somewhat blood feud where it was a betrayal arc and everything else, but it worked perfectly. I loved Io's little counter to the rose plant where she flipped out of it and then started getting some offense in, doing the moonsault. It was a damn good match. And another thing that I don't think people respect a little more is Io wanted to do that alone. Damage Control was not there. Damage Control did not run out and try to shenanigans the match. It was Io versus Bayley for 14 minutes and 20 seconds. And that is what you got. And it was incredible. It was a great match. To me, that was the match of the night for the women's.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't really have much to go against because there were no other women's matches on night two.
Well, I meant
for the cult collectively card.
The three that we had, I thought that was the best one. All right, ass.
You get a buzzer.
Yeah.
I couldn't resist. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I know.
I'm glad to see Bayley with the title again. I can't wait to see what her run is like here. A little bit more of a back to a face Bayley. So that should be really interesting. And now, Cody finishes his story. I thought it was pretty cool the way they brought all the people in that they did. The Usos, Solo, Cena, Rocky, Seth, Taker.
I'm still insanely confused as to why Taker was there.
He feuded with
That's
Roman.
The only problem that I have is Taker was there.
Feuded with Roman, I thought.
He beat him at 33. Like, Roman beat Taker at 33, but he didn't really do anything to, you know... I thought it was going to be Stone Cold, honestly, since they were in Philly. The first time that they ever faced each other at a WrestleMania was Mania 15 in Philly. So I thought it was just going to be like that type of thing. But that's just me. I was just very confused as to why Taker was there. That was my thing. It was still awesome.
Yeah, I was just like, yeah, he's got history with Roman.
That's the only history I can think of where I'm just like...
Well, what history does Austin have?
Well, it was The Rock. That's what it was.
Taker has history with Rock, too!
I don't know. That's probably just me being like a little bit of a curmudgeon here, doing a little POD. But I love this match for what it was worth.
That was more of an Andrew Balazs than a pod.
Yeah, it's still a curmudgeon, nevertheless. But this match, I loved it a lot. I love the fact that Roman and Cody did each other's finishing moves. Cody did a spear later on. Roman doing the crossroads saying, "This move sucks. It won't put anyone away." Like, he's just talking shit the whole time as Roman does. Then Cody gets the first crossroads off. Here comes backup quarterback trying to get involved. Jay comes out. They battle it out on the ramp. The spear happens off of the ramp onto some random tables that were definitely not predetermined to be there for that spot. Cody getting the offense back going, does two crossroads, Solo spiking like he did in 39. Out comes Cena because he has his bad blood with Solo and everything else. Final boss shows up. You know, Cena does the "you can't see me," tries to go for a punch, immediately gets rocked bottomed. Seth, I gotta ask this question for you. Shield music comes on. Did you have even a tiniest sliver, a thousandth of a percent chance that Dean might have shown up?
I give you a dirty look before you even finish that question. No, come on. Seth. Seth. Like, it was Seth, and it was Seth because it was part of the past and everything else, and it's the history with Roman, right? And that's kind of where The Undertaker fits in with the history with the Shield and with Roman.
Yeah, okay.
But let's give credit to Seth for going in and changing wardrobe and dyeing his hair after his match to come out and do the Shield appearance.
True. I will give Seth his flowers there. Just taking the Superman punch, Taker, the gong happens, choke slams, everyone's gone. Everything happened. And then Roman picks up that chair, sees Seth, looks at Cody. and I know Bandwagon Nerds has got something going on right now in their little tournament thing, but a good old Thanos moment of, did you get what you wanted? You got your revenge on Seth for the chair shot? Yeah. Cracked him right across the back, just like the good old always an option B. And what did it cost? Three crossroads. One, two, three.
Yeah, great match. Great use of the interferences. Bloodline rules. Just fun. Afterwards, Cody's mom getting to hold the belt. It was just a great... They're holding him up on their shoulders. And I don't know if I said it anywhere, but I really did think this a lot. I'm like, you know, if Cody does win, it's going to be like a Sting moment where you got a lot of guys in the company come out and happy for him. And it was just a fun WrestleMania moment. Overall, I thought it was a great championship match. It was a great WrestleMania main event. It was a great ending to a really fun story that may not be over yet either, but the story of Roman being that champion for that long, that is over. Does Cody deserve to be the one to end it? Absolutely. But am I still disappointed that along that championship road we didn't get Roman defending it against The Rock? You're damn right I am disappointed that that didn't happen.
Well, that's exactly why at Raw after, you know, the whole let me hold your belt, let me hold mine and all that stuff, Rock handed him something. I don't know if they ever said what it was. I just know he handed him something saying you don't have to open your hand to know what it is. Don't break my heart ever again. Like that spoke volumes to me, where it's just like, yeah, we were supposed to have Rock and Roman, and it just shattered him. Still want to know what the fuck he put in his hand.
Piece of bologna.
Some people were saying it was like part of Roman's lay that he has, where, you know, broke off, and it's just like, yeah, I don't like that. Another person randomly said it was Dusty's Hall of Fame ring. Where the fuck did you get Dusty's Hall of Fame ring?
Who knows? Maybe it'll come out someday. Maybe it won't. Maybe we're supposed to know. Maybe we don't even need to know. Who knows? Not I at the current time.
True.
Nor the trivia trickster AJ Balazs. Those are our thoughts on WrestleMania 40. I overall enjoyed it thoroughly. And I can't wait to see what they do for next year, bud.
Same. Did they say it was in Minneapolis?
They have
or
not
Vegas?
Announced. They have not announced the site yet.
What the fuck is going on here? I mean, either way, I would love to go, but it was a damn good Mania. Like, we only had maybe two stinkeroos of a match on the entire card for both nights, being the Uso match and the Pride versus the Final Testament, but it was still a damn good Mania. I mean, people are saying it's probably the greatest Mania of all time.
I
don't know about that either.
Out of 40,
it's up there.
Out of 40, it's easily in the top 10.
Yeah.
That's as far as I'll go.
It's definitely up there, but I wouldn't say the greatest just yet.
But
that, now that we got time to simmer, it's like, so... you know, it was good for what it was worth.
But it was a fun weekend overall. Big success for WWE as always. Next week, we will get into some more as we build towards Backlash, I believe, is next.
I think that's May the next 5th? One that they announced in France.
Fourth, May 4th or 5th or something like that. 4th. Anyway, maybe next week we'll get into a little bit more on some of the people who have lost these titles or lost a title match and see when they could be coming back around to television, i.e. Roman, Seth, Becky, etc., etc. So tune in next week to DWI 426 Trivia. Will be back, hopefully DP will be back as well, but until then, AJ, let everybody know where they can find the funky, oh so phenomenally fresh one.
Well, before I do that, you are right, May 4th is going to be Backlash in France on a Saturday. But as for anything else, you can follow me all over Twitter, Twix, whatever you want to call it, at PhenomenalAJB, AJB in all caps. Don't forget, we're not just podcast galore. We are articles galore, sports, entertainment, all on thechairshot.com. Don't forget to listen to a bunch of other stuff. We got a lot of Mania reviews going around with a lot of different people with a lot of different opinions. I know for a fact that it's probably going to be big for Mindless since Jason and Rob actually got to go.
There you go. So tune into that tomorrow morning. But until then, follow DPP at It's Me DPP. Follow me at PC Tunney. Follow this show at Podcast DWI on X and on DWI Podcasts on Facebook. Until next week, for AJ Blaz, DPP, this is PC Tunney. Don't drink and drive. Drink and podcast.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.